The easiest way to win playoff tickets is by following TSN 1050 on Instagram. Follow us, like our latest giveaway post, and tag who you want to bring to the game. It's that simple. Check us out at TSN 1050 on Instagram.
It's Mail It In Friday.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TPC at Spitting Fire. On the tee, Brian Hayes. Four, please. Go ahead, Brian.
Spitting fire.
I could talk for 3 hours.
You want me to just turn my mic off?
Turn your mics off.
Brian Hayes. Play away, Brian.
I don't need any commercials today. I don't want a guest on. I don't need anything. I could break down what happened last night and how awful that was all afternoon.
Okay, it was one game.
So it was one game, but we all know that. Like, that's one thing. I knew this was going to come up, and right. I was getting people sending me notes all day saying, dude, don't get crazy this afternoon. It's only one game. I know it's only one game.
You're right.
We're just talking about the one game.
We are. And that's our job.
And that's our job.
How the one game went.
That's as bad as they could possibly play. Everything that could go wrong went wrong last night. They were awful. The Bruins embarrassed them. And that's what happened. There's no sugarcoating it.
It was right on pace with what Philly did in Pittsburgh. Maybe a goal or what is it, goal or two? The same thing, though.
Basically the same thing.
First period was all Boston. You saw Babcock on the bench. Calm down, guys. Enjoy the moment. It's the playoffs. Blah, blah, blah. They got it together. Second period, they showed some fight. Zach Hyman had a great goal to tie the game. And then it was game over. It was game over.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it all week. Okay, let's go through the checklist here off the top of the show because we're going
to
revisit this
throughout
the afternoon.
I like to call it the timeline. Go through the timeline and we'll break it down.
You want to go through the notes?
But the things that constantly came up, right, throughout the week, what we kept talking about, Leafs have to find a way to neutralize the Bergeron line.
Wrong. We got a buzzer? We got a buzzer? Like a wrong buzzer?
No, you got to have Trump going wrong.
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 There you go. You have to stay disciplined.
Wrong.
If you're undisciplined, the penalty kill cannot melt down.
Wrong.
Babcock has got to find a way to outcoach Bruce Cassidy.
Wrong.
The Leafs need to play with speed and skill.
Wrong.
And Freddie has to be spectacular.
Wrong.
That's what happened last night.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, so everything we talked about that cannot happen happened last night.
In your preparation for the show, did you pull out your notes from like 3 days ago and be like, this is what we were going to talk about? And then, and pretty much because you're bang on, like the execution of the Leafs didn't happen. So
I got to ask you guys something. I touched on it last night for our hit on SportsCenter.
Mm-hmm.
What league does a guy stay on the ice for 2 minutes killing a penalty or a minute and 45
seconds?
You were
spitting fire at Ron Hainsey.
Not Ron Hainsey, but the fact that he thinks he needs... What is he trying to prove? Is VO2 to everybody else? You can't play in the NHL in the playoffs the whole penalty kill. You played with Chris Pronger. Yeah. He didn't do that. Why the hell's Ron Hainsey?
Yeah. No,
he couldn't walk. He couldn't stand up. He was leaning on his stick like a 70-year-old man. He was so tired. He couldn't get the puck out. And then David Backes just pushed him aside and said, give me that puck. I'm putting it in the net. And for the life of me, why on earth Thomas Plekanec and his line was awful last night? And a minute left in the second period, Marty Baron saw it. He said Bergeron's line was kind of hovering out there, and they saw Plekanec's line go, go ahead. And they just dominated. They owned them.
No, Babcock.
Babcock came out and said that's their job, to win the draw and get it in the ozone. Guess what? He's won more than me, and you can go back and say, what the hell is that guy talking about? He's never won. Why on earth that line was out there for that assignment is beyond me. Giving the opposition an opportunity to put their best players on against Thomas Plekanec.
Awful coaching decision. Awful. Like that. Bruce Cassidy danced circles around Mike Babcock last night. Danced circles around him.
Well, it got to the point where they were dominating so much, I don't even think Bruce Cassidy cared who played against Austin Matthews' line.
Oh, see, I disagree. I think Cassidy is so confident in his top line, and he made a coaching decision, I can kill two birds with one stone. Not only am I going to put the Bergeron line out against Matthews, and they're going to score by doing so? They're going to take away the firepower of the Maple Leafs' top line.
I know, but later in the game, it was like Akari and those guys where probably the game was
But it was 5-1 or whatever. Yeah, I mean, at that point,
you're
not
worried about matchups.
Once Babcock, the game got Babcock, he's got to find a way to turn things around, man. Well, it's one game, but he had a really bad coaching game last night.
And he did, but so did the players. But
by the way, we didn't even talk about video coach, head coach, assistant coach. Why not? How'd you miss the offside?
You know, it's funny. I think we're all focused on Bergeron trying to stay on.
Well, we talked about this all year, Jamie. When I'm paying a video coach, it's your job to find that.
Yeah.
That's what you are, the video coach. Yeah. In a split second, you have to find that and tell the coach or someone else.
Yeah, and you know, Mike's comments were, you know, wish I had it more available quicker or something like that. I thought I read that today. But, yeah, it's a missed call. And there were a couple of missed calls last night. But ultimately, it comes down to a team that was overwhelmed, didn't play their game, didn't play their system, and then got undisciplined, and now they're in the soup. Because now, regardless of what you think and of last night, Kadri is probably going to miss two games. Yeah. He'll be lucky if he gets two. Like, I think...
One for not doing anything, then he's going to get two, minimum.
For me, because being a repeat offender, that's a four-game suspension during the regular season, so you cut it in half for the playoffs, too. That's what my personal opinion.
I'm not convinced he's going to get two.
It was a gutless hit.
It was a bad hit. There's no that was Kadri, the double-edged sword of Nazem Kadri was on display last night.
Yeah, and let's be honest here. If that was a guy from the Minnesota Wild in Ottawa on a Tuesday night, we'd be saying a lot worse.
Oh, it was a bad hit. Well, there's no you can't excuse
it.
There's no way I'm getting around.
I had a moron in the bar last night telling me, he's like, that's not even a penalty. And I said, go have another beer.
But that doesn't matter.
But what I said to him, I said, let's just be objective. Put 34 in Wingles' position and put David Backes in Kadri's spot.
Yeah.
And what are we talking about today?
Rest of the playoffs.
What are we talking about today? Like, I know Tommy Wingles isn't a marquee player, but that was a very dangerous... Like, he's lucky he didn't break his neck. Like, if he ends up hitting him and smashing his head on the dasher and he's down and they stretcher him off, what are we talking about today? Scary, scary stuff. And I know everyone's like, oh, they missed an elbow and all of that. Kadri's lucky he didn't get a knee on Nash. That was
a penalty, too.
So there was some stuff that was missed. The elbow on Marner, the knee on knee by Kadri. I thought it was a bad call on Kadri on Wingles earlier. There were some things that
the refs were not great last night, but you could argue both sides.
Both sides.
And Nazem Kadri, this is what we've talked about when it comes to him throughout his career. I thought their line actually performed pretty well. I thought that was the only line they had going last night.
Had some jam. Like,
I thought, yeah, Kadri, Marlowe, Marner, I thought they had some jam. They had some opportunities. And Nazem Kadri is your quote-unquote gamer. And I know that's a throwaway expression that sometimes is difficult to quantify. But he's a guy that plays with emotion. He's a guy that is always going to give you something.
Right.
And I thought through 50 minutes last night, he was a guy that, unlike the rest of his teammates, for the most part, maybe short of a guy here or there, Zach Hyman was playing with some juice.
Right.
You could walk out of there if you're a Leaf fan saying, you know what, 43 brought something. The other end of that sword, or the other edge of that sword, is he's a loose cannon.
Yeah.
That's what Nazem Kadri is. He plays with jam. He gets in your face. He's a guy I'll take on my team every day of the week, much like Marchand.
Yep.
But every once in a while, they lose their minds and they do something stupid.
Marchand,
and that's what Kadri did. And you can't do that in that circumstance when you already know at that point you're going down 1-0 in the series.
Yeah, and then, like, Marchand plays a dirty game. So does Kadri. That's just how they
are. They're both two peas in a pod. They're both the same type of guy.
Last night, Marchand won the agitating battle. He also, I mean, he scored. He's a great player. He's shake and baked out of the corner. I mean, he's a great player. Like, that's the funny thing about, and so is Nazem. Like, there's no debating that. But Marchand won the agitating role last night. And people are so worked up about, like, the kissing or whatever the hell he was doing. It's ridiculous. If you're Komarov, like, either punch him in the face or skate away. Like, don't stand there and allow him to be a jackass.
Well, that's the thing. He kind of played the Daniel Sedin role.
Yeah,
and if you're on the fourth line and you got a chance to grab a guy and beat the hell out of him,
go ahead.
Do something. Like, don't come out
afterwards. That's my stance on Kadri. It's like, you know what? It was a stupid play. But I can remember my dad telling me when I was a kid, you know what? That was stupid, but at least you showed that, like, you actually gave a rip.
That's what I'm saying about Kadri.
Yeah, but
is, like, you never walk out of a game saying this guy mailed
it. It was beyond
stupid. There's a difference between caring and being, like, having a gutless look.
Well, the point is, there's other guys that you never have to worry about them taking a suspension because they just don't give a rip. And
he's lucky if he gets two games.
Yeah,
he will be lucky.
I totally agree.
Like, that's the thing. So now you've got your number two centerman for games 2 and 3, potentially, out of the lineup. So now you're going to have to slide Marlow to the center, or elevate Bozak, or do something. Nazem's a really valuable player on this team.
Well, what it does is it puts more of a spotlight on Austin Matthews. Yeah. Because he did not have a very good game last night.
He's invisible. There's no other way. If we're going to praise the guy every time he's awesome, he was invisible.
Yeah, he was.
Night.
He and Neil. Well, what happened was the Bergeron line chewed them up. That's what happened. And now you're going to have a situation where you know that Cassidy and the Bruins are going to have the same game plan tomorrow night. It's going to be Chara and the Bergeron line up against Matthews as much as you can. And this is on Babcock again. He got outcoached last night. He didn't even try to avoid the matchup, or didn't feel like he was. And I know it's more difficult on the road, but if Kadri's out of the lineup, even when you come home and you have the change, if he's not playing there in game three, right, you might have to rely on Matthews to get out there against whoever happens to be on the ice. If it's a close game in the third, or you're down a goal, you can't continue to match or try to avoid right. certain things. You have to go to him in particular, that line in particular, and say, you've got to beat them.
Right.
You've got to outperform the Bergeron line.
Yeah, and Matthews,
and I believe in
more.
This kid.
It's more. Like,
he's going to
game.
Be better.
It's a one-off, like, for me.
Of course. Like, the most obvious statement is the Leafs are going to play better. Of course they're going to play better.
You're right.
They're going to have a response. I think going into tomorrow night, I think they'll have a really good chance of winning that game.
Sure.
There are a couple of things for me as I look forward to game two that actually hold relevance. What if the Bruins can play better? Which is not crazy to suggest.
Well, it's funny. That was Rick Nash's first game in a month, and he looked pretty good. Like, he hadn't played since March 17th. Like, I thought he was really good, really strong on pucks, and he's not an overly physical guy, but he's a guy who can control the play. And you know, he didn't find the score sheet, I don't believe, but I think he was quite effective.
He was effective
and
last night.
You're getting, now they're going to have, I believe, Riley Nash available. Again, another depth guy to them, but I think the Bruins, when you look at it, there was a game going on, and yeah, people say, well, what if this was called, and what if this play happened? You're right, what if? There's a lot of what ifs, but ultimately, the consistency from the Leafs weren't there for 60 minutes.
No, they didn't.
Where the Bruins kind of played the same way the whole game.
The other question that I think holds even more weight is they may have to rely on Freddie Anderson to perform a miracle tomorrow night. How much faith do we have that he has it in him to steal a game tomorrow if it comes to that point? Because last night, I don't even know if he played well. I don't know if he didn't play well.
Obviously,
the team was
like
so bad in front of him.
You don't like the Krejci goal, but like you don't love a lot of the plays. And
he's far down the list
exactly.
of concerns.
Exactly. I think he was probably concern 6.
Right.
You know, like.
But it might get to a point.
He's going to be concern 1 going into game 2. Because
tomorrow night, it's not a must win, but it's real close to it.
You need it.
The way the Bruins play, how good they are, how deep they are. If you lose tomorrow night, you're obviously in a really tough spot. I mean, that's an understatement.
They lose in the fashion that they did in the first game. It's 5 or less. They might steal one at home and win one at home, and then they go back to Boston, and it's game over.
I think that's what, you know, it's a great point, O. Like, how you lost. Like, it doesn't matter. 5-1, 2-1, it doesn't matter. You lost.
Yeah, if they go in that dressing room after a loss and say to the media, there's no way we should have lost that game. We had so many chances. We outchanced them.
Right.
We outplayed them. And they got a lucky break. Then they might have a chance to do something at home. But if it's just men against boys like it was on last night, it's over.
Well,
game over.
I kind of chuckled at one point. Did you see?
Although Detroit manhandled Toronto back in the day in Detroit, and T-Dot came back and won the 2 at home.
I wouldn't.
Can that happen? Who knows?
There was the one play where, who was it, Backes and JVR were mixing it up, and like Chara was like Kramer out there. Like Chara skated over, and Connor Brown was trying to get around him, It was like me playing box out with my daughter. Like, it was... And Chara didn't have a mean on last night. He didn't go after Kadri. He didn't go after anybody.
Like
just
security guard wheeling around the hallways. Just don't do that.
But they got to find a way to expose that.
For sure.
Like, this is a game. We keep talking about it, okay? He's 40 years old. Mm-hmm. He's never been fast or quick, but he's been quicker than he is now. The game continues to evolve where he can't use his stick. He can't use his physicality the way he once could. This should not be a carbon copy of when Phil Kessel couldn't find a way to break the Chara code. This is on Matthews and Marner, if he's out there, and Nylander. You got to find a way to use your speed and skill to expose a 40-year-old guy who isn't quick. Yeah. I know he's huge and he uses his stick better than anybody, and it's not going to be easy, but this is part of the challenge. Yep. If you're just going to let Chara run the show and the Bergeron line run the show, you're toast.
Yeah,
You've got to find a way to turn the tide.
Open ice is where you can expose him. You're not getting by him on the boards. Like any stop back plays in that, he closes it off. And it was in watching his game pretty closely last night, he knows exactly what he is as a player. I don't know how many times he closed the boards off and chipped it over to McAvoy. McAvoy's like, no, I'll skate this out. I'll make a play. I'll do something. But you don't see Chara handling the puck very much. What he is he's a separator. He's a puck separator now. He separates player and puck and closes it off and then hems a guy, like basically pins a guy against the boards and somebody else comes and get it. And that's the beauty of having, if you're a Boston Bruins fan, having a guy like Bergeron or the support to come down and grab that puck and away they go. Like they're efficient in their own zone. I thought Boston looked really good. I thought the Leafs looked really poor. And
the beauty of it, it's one game.
It's one game.
But that's the only positive you can take out of
it. That's it.
There's nothing you can take out of that game if
they can sit and look at each other and say, we can't play any worse than that. So let's give it our best and see where it takes us.
I think they have to play differently, too. Like, I really feel like what they should take out of that game is you can't be running around. You can't be scrumming it up. I mean, if it happens organically, it's going to happen. If it's a guy like Komarov with Marchand, then I'll take that coincidental penalty all
they
day.
They have to figure out a way to use their strengths and go get the puck and keep it and skate with it and use their speed to eliminate time and space. They're not going to out-physical the Boston Bruins.
They're not going to out-physical anybody in the league. This is not a physical
team. The puck gets up to the corner, go skate fast and go get it. If you think you're going to wait and absorb it, you're going to get knocked on your ass and they're going to take the puck.
Well, what the Bruins did very well last night is expose the defensive core of the Leafs.
Well, Riley and Hainsey got torched.
Did you see Riley? And I don't subscribe to everything, but it is a pretty good indicator. Did you see what Riley's possession number was?
It was
9%.
Yeah, and it felt that way.
But it's not all on him. He needed support, but like they were under siege in their own zone and didn't have an answer.
Well,
like,
guess who they were playing against all night?
That's
the Bergeron line. They got to find a way to neutralize them.
Yeah.
Like, because if they allow them to torch them every single night, man, it's going to be a difficult series to win. So,
what did you think of your prized acquisition to torture Marchand? Turtlenecks.
Well, he's not any good, dude. I understand that. That wasn't the crux of the conversation we were having yesterday. I said was the reason they probably targeted him, or one of them was, because of his history against Boston.
Right.
And as I said yesterday, now's a time for Plekanec to prove that he can use that experience to do something. He was awful last night. Yeah. I would take him out of the lineup.
Me too.
I would.
You talk about Kadri coming out of the lineup. I'd have two centermen coming out of the lineup. Dom Moore and Janssen would go in because he just looks like, and it's the worst criticism you can ever make as a player or provide a player with. It's like he's disinterested. It's like he's just out there with a hockey outfit on.
Fantasy camp?
Do something.
It looks like he's lost it. Like, that's what it looks like. It looks like a guy who someone's got to go to him and be like, you had a great run, but I'm not sure you can keep up anymore.
What happens with players like that, they're very cerebral. So they think the game, like, if you look at Patrice Bergeron, I'm not comparing the two, but watch Bergeron's temperament out there. He just plays the same way. He's always in the right spot. And, like, I think when Plekanec's on his game, that's what he is. He's just in position. It's not flashy. But when he's off his game and he misses assignment, man, it doesn't look good because the body language isn't exploding. You know, we just talked about it. Kadri's a fiery guy. You know when he's engaged. You can see it on his face. With Plekanec, you can't tell if the score is 5-1. Either way, he's just a very calm
guy.
He's
even-keeled.
And so is a guy like Marlowe. Like, Marlowe just plays the same way, mm-hmm. night in and night out. It happens, but you need more. And I'm not circling Plekanec and saying, boy, that's the
difference. He's not the reason they lost last
night.
There
were so many factors.
No.
They had a couple opportunities in the power play that maybe it's a different look in the game if you end up finding the back of the net. And now you're not in the soup taking retaliatory penalties and stuff. Like, I believe they had three power plays in a row, or two for sure in the second. I'll have to go back and look. But it if they get an opportunity as far as finding the back of the net, but you could see...
Well, that was the TSN turning point. When Marner missed the wide-open net,
yeah.
Next thing you know, it goes down the other end. Marlowe takes what I thought was a weak call.
Yeah.
He takes a penalty. Backes scores 2-1. But next thing you know, Babcock's got the fourth line on for some reason with less than a minute. It's 3-1, and the game's over.
And
that's it.
Did you see what they were doing on their kill? The first kill, Marner goes wide. They literally go ahead.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and shoot.
They sunk. And yeah. You know what they did? They said, we got to take Van Riemsdyk out
right.
of this
We're
play.
Taking every option away from Marner.
And go ahead and fire it as hard as you can.
And we're going to trust our goalie. And I think it actually kind of threw Marner a little bit because he had so much time and space on that first power. I think you guys know which one I'm talking about. He walked right in, and he still tried to feed a pass through the middle, and it got picked off, or it was kind of a redirect play. But that'll be in-game and adjustments in between games. Mike Babcock and his crew saying, okay, if we're going to get this space, this is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. So this is going into game two. This is the beauty of playing the same team potentially seven times in a row. You try and exploit weak spots. Last night, the Bruins exploited a couple weak spots, and they got a major out of a bad play by Kadri, and the game was over. Now you regroup and you move forward.
It's only one game.
Yep.
And we went through this a year ago. They lost game one. They came back. They won game two and game three. We went through it 5 years ago in Boston. Noodles, you and I were in the building, game one. It was a carbon copy of what we saw last night. That game wasn't even close.
Right.
If you can't remember it, take our word for it. Boston beat them 4-1, game one, and it was men against boys. And the Leafs responded really well. Game two, they won game two. That series went to seven. We've been down this road before, but this is how the Toronto sports scene generally works. Make it as difficult as possible. Lose game one, put yourself up against it, find right. a way to battle back. And that's the position the Maple Leafs find themselves in. We'll read some text throughout the afternoon, 10:50:50. You can email us live at tsn1050.ca.
Take a call or no?
Yeah, we could probably open up the phone lines at 416-870-1050. If you have hot takes, you got to bring some quality takes.
Don't even think about being a donkey.
416-870-1050. Some Blue Jay news, we'll tell you about that. The Raptors kicking off their playoff campaign tomorrow afternoon. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. All right, Steve Phillips is going to join us in a few minutes on this Donaldson news. If you're not aware of it, he has been placed on the 10-day DL. Shoulder inflammation. The old dead arm.
Yeah, the dead arm's back.
And it explains exactly what happened a couple of nights ago. That whole spiel about when I have a day off, it's a day off, and I'm not going to warm up, and this kind of weather, it was completely bogus. It turns out he was banged up, and that's right. why he couldn't play. And I'm sure they were hoping it was going to get better either yesterday or today, and I'm sure he got to the park or he woke up today and said, that's a no guy. Still dealing with some troubles here in the right shoulder, so they placed him on the DL. And it's been a constant problem for him dating back to the spring. And as it keeps going and going and going, if it doesn't get back to 100%, I mean, I'm concerned good. Surgery is the next option.
I told you in day one, if I was a GM that was sniffing around saying, as soon as the Jays falter and the for sale sign goes up on everybody, I've backed right off. Or if you're sniffing around thinking, weren't the Cardinals kind of really interested last year, summer? I'm out. Like, if you thought about in the summertime, big deal.
Well,
bring in that marquee third base, not anymore.
That's the concerning part is this. Like, if I'm a team that wants to sign him long term, whether it's the Jays or somebody else, like, this shoulder potential surgery or injury could really cost him a lot of money.
Absolutely. Now, he isn't having surgery yet. I'm just saying the way...
If it trends that direction.
You guys know the way it works. Turn.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps flaming up or flaring up, and then all of a sudden you're on the DL, then you come back, and it still doesn't feel right, and then at some point someone says,
"Yeah,
we should do a scope and check out what's going on."
Exactly.
And then they find something, and, you know, that's generally the way it works with athletes. And we're not there yet. Knock on wood. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point. The Jays are off to a great start. And even with these problems, Donaldson has performed really, really well.
Yeah.
And they need him. If they want to keep rolling, they're going to need the bringer of rain. But he's placed on the 10-day DL, so he won't be playing in Cleveland this weekend or at home against Kansas City starting Monday night. Raptors kicking off their playoff campaign tomorrow afternoon. We've been giving tickets away. We gave away Leaf tickets a couple of days ago, I believe it was, via our Instagram account. We did the same thing for Game 1,
yep.
Raps Wizards. And we have a winner to announce. You're going to want to hear this.
Wow.
Congratulations to Brandon Bose, at Brandon_Bose, who won our Instagram contest and picked up two tickets to see Game 1 between the Raptors and the Wizards tomorrow evening at 5:30. Playoff ticket giveaways from TSN 1050 are delivered by Skip the Dishes, our friends at Skip the Dishes. So, Brandon, you are off to see Raptors-Wizards tomorrow afternoon at 5:30. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. All right, Rays coming up live from Vegas at 5 p.m. We'll keep looking back on what happened last night in Boston. Bruins beating the Leafs 5-1. It got ugly. It got ugly. We're waiting on news on Nazem Kadri. I think we're all bracing for at least a one-game suspension, maybe more than that. You guys are expecting 2 games?
Yeah.
Min.
I
don't think he's getting more than 2 games.
I suspect 2, just based on repeat offender, too, right? That's the other situation. Like, that's the... I thought it would have been 1, but if you're in repeat offender status...
Thing is, you say that, and remember the elbow Marchand on Johansson, which I think was way more gutless than what Kadri did last night. They gave him 5 regular seasons.
I don't know if it was way more gutless.
Yeah, I like that.
Way more gutless.
I hit from
behind. How
so? Do you remember that elbow to the head?
I do.
A launching elbow to the head.
And a launching hit from to a
got in the back of the head.
To say it's way more egregious is a ridiculous comment.
But I think
they were both awful.
They're
put it that way.
Both stupid.
Both awful.
Both stupid. Marchand got 5 regular season games.
Yeah.
And he's as repeat offender as Kadri.
That's why I said it would be 4 in the regular season, 2 in playoffs.
All right, we've got Steve Phillips on the line, our TSN Jays analyst. Sorry, Steve.
What an
smooth transition.
We're fired up. The Leafs did not play well last night. I don't know if you're aware of that or if you even really care, Steve, but it's a fact.
I do care. They did not play well. I mean, 5-1 in Boston is not a great result. And obviously, they better turn it around, but they're going to be disadvantaged a little bit now as well.
No kidding, man. Well, I mean, you've been in that spot, I'm sure, as a GM. Like, watching your team in a big game perform poorly and all hell breaks loose and you might lose a player for whatever reason. Like, publicly, you guys always say the right thing. Like, we're going to regroup. It's only 1 game. There's no way you guys actually are feeling that, though, in the moment.
No, oh, my God, no. I mean, listen, your stomach's in your throat. You're angry. You're frustrated. And as an executive, like, you can't do anything. You can't hit somebody. You can't go out and skate for him. You can't shoot for him. You can't goaltend for him. You can't do anything for him. So what you got to try to do is build up spirits. You got to try to pat guys on the back as much as you want to kick them in the seat of the pants. You've got to try to build guys up again because there's no rest for the weary. You got to get back out there and try to play and flush out the bad feelings from the bad loss.
As a manager, Steve, like, would you talk to the Skip and say, what the hell was that? What adjustments? Or you just stay out of it and stay in the background? Or how do you handle it? Or did you handle it?
I would not come in and say, what the heck's going on? I would say, so what do you think? What can we do? What's your take on what happened? And where can we make the adjustments necessary to make it different? Now, the one advantage you have is that when you do lose 5-1, you know what the other team's going to do. They're going to do exactly what they did to beat you 5-1. So there's an opportunity to game plan in a way where you can go about it differently, and the other team doesn't necessarily know what you're going to do. So it's not a complete disadvantage, and so you have to focus on not the bad feeling. You can't you know, you can't hold on to it. You've got to learn from it, right? So you've got to make it more intellectual rather than emotional. And then rally the players' emotions and weave in the adjustments necessary to be able to go out there and try to get a different result.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, Jays in Cleveland tonight taking on the Tribe. But the biggest news of the day, Josh Donaldson has been placed on the 10-day DL with right shoulder inflammation. Take us back a couple of nights ago, ninth inning, Melee gets on, it's a 5-3 game. Gibbons decides to put Devin Travis to the plate as a pinch hitter as opposed to Donaldson. After the game, they all said the right thing. If he's taking a day off, he's going to take a day off. It's so cold out. He's got to warm up. He's not going to be bothered by that. Kind of made sense in the moment. But now that you hear the news from today, does it change the way you look back on 48 hours ago?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, a couple of things here. So, my inclination was, you know, there's a new way of managing players in baseball. It's not just the Blue Jays, but everybody else, is that you give them days off, not when they're tired, but you give them days off so they don't get tired, so that you then, you know, get the best of their performance. I think there's a better idea that that's how you're going to maximize talent. That you don't wait for the guy to go underwater before you give him time off. You just keep him from going underwater. Now, that being, and so a lot of times what a manager will do is they'll say to one of his stars, you're off today, typically before another off day, so they get 2 days off. And then they come back that following day, which would be a Friday today, and go out there and go play. Now, you know, we're now getting some clarification on maybe what it meant Wednesday night wasn't necessarily a normal new way of protecting a player, but this was protecting a guy with a sore shoulder. A couple things out of this that strike me. First of all, they're sending him to Florida. That doesn't necessarily bode well for this because, you know, if it were just a 10-day inflammation thing, you'd keep him with the major league team. The training staff would work with him. He'd be around the club, and, you know, he'd be ready at the end of the 10 days to come back and play. The fact they're sending him to Florida means they need to settle this thing down. Then they're going to have to build it back up again at an appropriate pace. And my instinct says that it's probably longer than 10 days. The other thing that jumps out at me is with Kendrys Morales on the disabled list, they need a DH. And the fact that this shoulder is so troublesome that they're still putting Donaldson on the DL and just not DHing him and rehabbing the shoulder while he DHs tells me that it's something they really feel like they better get out in front of, or this thing, you know, could be, you know, a problem all season long, because losing Donaldson for 30 days is catastrophic for the Blue Jays. They can't afford it. He is their most important player. They don't have enough margin for error offensively to handle a significant period of time without him. And so they don't want this to linger and to be a nagging problem. But the fact they're not DHing him through this with Morales on the DL tells you it's a pretty significant shoulder issue.
With Steve Phillips, Marcus Stroman on the mound tonight. This will be his third start. His first two were pretty ugly. Statistically, his numbers very, very bloated. He dealt with shoulder inflammation as well in the spring. If he's off again tonight, looks off kilter in any way, at what point do we start concerning ourselves with the fact that he could still be only at 80-85%?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when a guy misses and it doesn't have his command, like Stroman hasn't his first two starts, your initial thought is mechanics. But when a guy's also had some shoulder inflammation, then you think, well, maybe he's not feeling quite right. Now, when players rebuild strength from either elbow injuries or shoulder injuries, velocity can come back more quickly than the ability to manipulate the baseball. That last little bit of proprioception, that last little bit of manipulation on the ball to be able to get it to move where you want, to locate it where you want, and that's where he seems to be off. Now, it could just be mechanics. It could be the recovery from the shoulder, or it could be the shoulder lingering. It's all, you know, it's kind of out there now, and Stroman's such a tough guy. It's hard to get the straight answer. Now, my guess is the Jays have a better sense of what's going on with him than what we get. But it is reasonable to be concerned about the shoulder inflammation. My sense of it is that he is throwing pretty free and easy, and it doesn't look like he's hurt. And so maybe it is just this recovery period where he's trying to get that sort of command back. Tonight will be a pretty telling night, though, with a couple starts behind him. This is where it should start to turn the corner for him, and we'll see if it does.
Thank you, Steve. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Here's Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst. Donaldson on the 10-day DL, and as he said, the fact that he's going down to Florida to rehab and with Morales already out of the lineup,
yeah,
I'm not sure he's back in 10 days.
Which really makes me question, Brian, that was this not mishandled off the hop? For opening day, the guy's got something called dead arm. Shouldn't it have been down to Florida right now and get this dealt with, because instead of farting around and then you're going to play and then you can't throw and you're going to play for... to me, it sounds like it was mishandled.
Well, should you be playing when you have dead arm?
That's the thing. Like, dead arm is such an empty calorie statement. You can't challenge it. No one knows what the hell that means.
We had a guy on our team that had drop foot. I don't know if people have been...
What the hell is that?
Like, they're... The nerves in their leg where they go to walk, like, it's like their foot drops. Because they can't play hockey. Like, Sergei Harin was his name, this Russian we came over. He got, like, a slap shot in the leg. He had dead leg. He had drop foot. Like, when I saw that, I think I was calling a game. So I wasn't on the show the next day. You guys talked about it. Like, the fact that he was still playing, like, if a star player this early in the season has something that could be nagging. Now, I don't know the mechanics of dead arm. So maybe it's like a nerve thing that just comes back. I have no idea. But, like, to me, it just doesn't look good where the guy is you know, literally Carly Rae Jepsen from
trying to throw it to first. No, I'm with you. I never really believed that that was the case because he had shoulder inflammation to begin with. And that's dating back to the spring, and it's a lot like the calf injury he suffered last year. He suffered it in spring. He tried to battle back early in the year. Didn't happen. He went on the DL a couple of different times,
right,
and the season spun out of control. Now, the difference is they're 8-5 right now as opposed to what they were last year, 2-10 or whatever.
Right. It was ugly.
So they're in a much better situation, but Donaldson is the linchpin of success for this team this year because if you believe the arms are going to do what they're doing, or they're going to continue to get better, and they can perform at a top five ranking, so to speak, by the end of the year, that's great. If your offense is brutal, it's not going to mean anything. Right. And the offense has been surprisingly very, very productive early in the year. But at some point, guys are probably going to come back to earth who are having great starts. Mm-hmm. Donaldson's the guy who you can rely on to continue. And if he's not available to you, it changes everything. All right, Ray's coming up in about 20 minutes, live from Vegas. Drew Doughty not playing tonight. That defense corps is already depleted for the Kings.
Yep.
Big game for L.A. and Vegas tonight. Big game in Winnipeg tonight. And we'll continue to break down what happened last night in Boston and look ahead to Game 2 tomorrow night, what has to happen for the Leafs to find a way to get a win.
2-minute break. We'll chat then. What is so hard about the question I just asked you? Like, there's a minute to go.
No, there's three minutes. Probably 3 minutes, right?
No, it isn't. It's 1 minute. We got a couple of minutes here.
Two. You gave me the, you good here? In other words, I'm not turning my mic on.
I'm not putting my feet down off the desk and putting my headset on.
But you were going to Brian Elliott a segment.
Pulled a greasy move today at a drug store.
Oh, yeah?
I wanted to get this paste for my hair, and I opened it up to see the texture of it, and it looked like crystals, like a powder, and I put my finger in, and it was like a paste. So I felt bad, but the finger came out. I did her up and put her back on the shelf.
Now somebody has your fingerprint.
What's that on the grease meter? Is that greasy?
Yeah, that's really greasy, because chances are the next person, the person that buys it, is not going to open it and inspect it. They're just going to assume nobody would be that careless to do that to them.
Should I go back and buy it?
No, it doesn't. It's gone now. Somebody's got it by now. It's not the end of the world. It's hair product. It's not like you... It was yogurt.
You licked it or something. Yeah, exactly. Took a bite of a sandwich.
That's the biggest story in the States in terms of hockey right now is Brad Marchand trying to kiss or whatever the hell that was with Komarov last night. I don't know what... I don't think he kissed
him. I don't even know why, but I just, I like, it just leaves my mind. I'm like, that's stupid. It's just, I don't need, it's nothing to me. It's like, he's a goof. Like,
what you need to do, exactly.
Either punch him out or just walk away and get away from it. I don't know.
I think players like that who agitate, they need an audience. If you don't give them an audience, they go looking for it. Now they cross a line. Now they get the call. So Komarov can look the other way, but he's got to skate away, not allow that nonsense to happen. The ref's not going to go, oh, 2 minutes for licking.
No,
it is unsportsmanlike. It is stupid.
It's stupid. It's totally stupid, but that's him.
Like I said, Marchand won the agitating I guess, contest last night.
I think it's just another layer.
Yeah.
Where you walk away, you're like, okay, they got smoke 5-1, Kadri's getting suspended, Marchand's embarrassing Komarov. Like, it's just one more thing you can look at.
Just add to
like,
the list.
That right. kind of stings, but throw anyway, we're going to turn the page as much as we can on last night, start teeing up game two tomorrow night. Game starts at 8, Raptors game one at 5:30, so perfectly sets up. Raps right into the Maple Leafs. We need a big night in the city tomorrow night. Hour two up next, Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.